Hello and welcome to the Social Recruiting Show. I'm Katrina Collier. I'm, of course, author of The Robot Proof Recruiter and a facilitator and speaker. I'm, of course, joined by my gorgeous, talented talent acquisition professional co-host, the one, the only, the amazing Glenn Martin.
Hola.
Hi, Glenn. That was delayed. Oh, dear. It's one of those Fridays. And today we are super excited to have the one, the only, the amazing Ryan Leary joining us from Recruiting Daily.
Hello,
welcome to the show, Ryan Leary.
Welcome, although when you said your amazing, gorgeous, handsome, whatever you said, host, I thought you were talking about me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's like, I'm right here.
I don't have the beard game quite as strong, but I'm right here.
Yeah. He's got more hair on his face than I've ever had on my dog. Very true. Very true.
Very true. Very true. Cool. And also, I just realized we, of course, would not be here without our awesome sponsor, Enterprise Alumni. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for keeping us running. Gratefully appreciated.
Gratefully appreciated.
Other side.
Yeah, I did that side. It's cool. So Ryan, listen, man, seriously, super excited to have you on the show. In terms of one, finding more about using marketing effectively in recruitment. Two, what is the Girl Guides Law? And three, more importantly, how did you get into recruitment?
Start with recruitment. How did I get into it?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. So how I got it. So it's a crazy story. So a long time ago, I guess it's not that long, like 2000 or something like that. So I guess it's 20 years now. So coming out of college, I went through the typical, you know, job fair thing, right? Landed a job. Mm-hmm. It was with a home company, Orion Homes, who they're a home builder here in the States. And so it was just a job. And on the first day, they said to meet this woman at this job fair. I'm going to sit with her. She'll talk with me, get me started, all of that stuff. And so I did. I'm sitting at, you know, the typical job fair setup, right? The tables and everyone's behind the curtains and all that stuff. Nobody showed up. I was just sitting there. It was just me. Yeah. So here I am. I'm literally like 2 weeks out of college, right? And I'm sitting at this table, nobody showing up. No pamphlets, nothing, not even a business card. Not even a table skirt. And so the table next to me was for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I don't know if you guys have Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So Enterprise Rent-A-Car. And I started talking to the woman. She goes, oh, do you have anything for your table? I said, well, actually, it's my first day. And I don't even know what I'm doing here. They just told me to come and kind of meet them here. Yeah. And so they, needless to say, they've never showed up. Ryan Holmes never showed up. And I hit it off with the woman from Enterprise. Her name was Tina. I still talk to her to this day. And she recruited me to work for Enterprise. And so I switched tables. I started working at Enterprise. Excellent. So I didn't get into recruiting.
Didn't even give my notice. I just moved tables.
I just moved tables. And so I didn't actually start recruiting the very first day. I did go through their management program. Mm. And, you know, I washed cars and suits and all that stuff. Mm. But it was about maybe a year and a half in or so, 2 years, that I reconnected with her. And she was, just, you know, she always touched base. I reconnected with her. I said, what is this thing that you're doing? And from probably 2002 and a half to 2003 is when I started in recruiting in some form or fashion of another, right? And recruiting people into the branches and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you were in-house at that time?
Yeah, it was in-house. It wasn't an official recruiter's role because I was still on the branch, but I would recruit for my local region. And then I wound up leaving Enterprise and I went to another company, Boise Cascade, which was a sales position. But again, it was half sales. And because I had the recruiting experience over at Enterprise, they had put me into their recruiting group, which was, again, an in-house role. And then from there, I just never went back. I just stayed in recruiting.
And that was it. You were stuck.
Yeah, I was stuck. Why not? They were paying me there to have fun. You know, it was good.
Yeah. Stuff. How did you end up at Recruiting Daily then? How did that come about? Because it's quite a different role, isn't it?
Yeah. So 2007, you guys remember Recruiting Blogs, which is still there. We still have it.
May have blogged on Recruiting Blogs.
You did? So Recruiting Blogs was 2007. Jason Davis had started. That's like old school, right? Jason Davis, Dan Mendoza, Maren Hogan, even. She's obviously doing well and all that. So a lot of people started recruiting blogs. And so I started with working into recruiting blogs. I had recruiting tools, recruiting webinars, and some of the other things. And that went on for a couple of years. And then I was still working, obviously, with Connexa in my recruiting roles. And then sometime around 2011, Jason Davis was done. He wanted to be done with recruiting blogs, and he wound up at the time selling it to who's now one of my business partners, Noel Koka. And during that process of Noel wanting to buy into recruiting blogs, he and I connected. And we hit it off, and so since then it's just been there. And I stayed in recruiting until about 2016. I was with Connexa 2012. IBM came in at 2012, acquired Connexa. Stayed on a bit too long, right? I went from a 2,000 person company, where I knew everybody,
to a colossal.
Well, I had a serial number. They gave me a serial number, right? So I was like,
oh my god,
oh wow, you were no longer a human.
Oh yeah,
just a number.
Yeah, 2G5772. That was my number. It'll forever be.
Oh my god.
Human. But in 2016, that ended. Probably should have left around 2012. 2016, I was still there. Great team. That's what kept me there. But ultimately, Recruiting Daily, I guess at some level, became a conflict of interest. And so it was time for me to just come full time with the company. And since then, we've just been growing it.
Cool, man. And for those few people that don't know what Recruiting Daily is, just give us a quick high level synopsis of. First and foremost, why do they not know what Recruiting Daily is? But secondly, give them a helping hand.
If they don't know Recruiting Daily, because they're not hip. No, I'm just kidding. So we're a media company. We're a media company, recruiting and HR publication online, and we work with the vendors on the backside on their marketing process.
Okay,
go to market strategies and process.
And hence you are the heavyweight message campaign topic.
Yeah.
This was me taking the piss, because basically I follow Ryan on Instagram, and all I see are these ridiculous weights that you like to lift up and do crazy stuff with. And I'm just like, so I just had to throw that in there as like a.
Oh, I see heavyweight. There you go.
Yeah. Heavyweight.
So this is episode 175.
I even did our little bitmoji was us doing weights.
Yeah.
Did you not get it? I thought you'd get it and have a giggle out of that.
I see it now. I get it now. Yeah.
I was trying to be creative. I'll stick to my day job.
I thought it was creative. I like the look of me, you know, pushing weights. I mean, it's not reality, but, you know, for that brief time, you can dream.
To be fair, Glenn was complaining about shifting some sand from the front garden to the back garden yesterday.
That's hard graft, right? That's hard graft. Anyway, on topic, recruitment marketing. What is it, Ryan? Everybody has a different definition around it. Everybody can tell me give me the true essence of recruitment marketing. What is it?
I think it's pretty simple. I think recruitment marketing is really the practice of using marketing strategies to promote working for an employer rather than for a job, right? So I think the job of a recruitment marketer is to attract talent into an employer. The job of a recruiter is to attract that talent into a job.
Yeah, totally, man. So why, careful question, so why do so many companies value marketing but see recruitment marketing as slightly less valuable? Or it seems to me that there's a harder conversation to be had to get budget for recruitment marketing. Have you got some thoughts on that?
Yeah,
well, is that because they see recruitment as an admin function, so therefore it's just maybe.
It's part of it. I think in most companies, this is probably going back 5-6 years, but it's still true today. I think a lot of marketing, say you have marketing, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of companies still don't have a recruitment marketing function, but they have recruitment marketing, which is generally held within marketing, but the budget is controlled by HR, right? Mm-hmm. So HR isn't a marketing organization, right? I mean, and they control the budget for what they want to spend. Give me $1,000 a job, $1,200 a job. They break it down to the job level, and they push that to marketing. And marketing says, well, we ate that budget up just by writing your copy, right? So done deal, right? It's not, a lot of companies haven't invested yet fully in a recruitment marketing program. Maybe they brought some tools in, but they don't have the person to operate nor the brain power to actually create, operate, and then distribute.
100%, man. Because I think when I speak to companies, sometimes I think they confuse recruitment marketing as solely social media. So they're like, oh, so yeah. It's social media, right? So it's like Facebook, it's like LinkedIn, it's like Instagram, it's whatever. But it's so much more than that, right? I mean, it is a proper marketing approach to recruitment, right? Long tail, not short tail, short to medium term gains. It's that long tail kind of approach, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I think so from a recruitment marketing standpoint, I think where there's some confusion, like you said, it's just push it out on the social, right? Get into a digital marketing strategy, you know, things like that. I think precisely the role of a recruitment marketer is to work with creating the employer brand, building that brand awareness, for sure, overseeing candidate experience, not necessarily from, well, including the recruiting process, but certainly before, right? So I like to break it up into what happens before the person applies to a job becomes a candidate or an applicant at that point. And then the other half of that is, or the other portion of that is from the recruiting process, from the time they connect to a recruiter all the way through. And then again, after, during the onboarding, right? So there's three different sets. There's probably more. That's just kind of how I like to visualize it. But there's experiences at each one of those levels. And the recruitment branding team or the recruitment marketer has to be involved at each of those levels to help create those experiences along the way, because you can have a fantastic, you can attract great candidates through recruitment marketing. But if that recruiter sucks at what they do, right, and they create a bad experience, it doesn't matter what you've done beforehand. It doesn't matter what you can do after. That recruiter has to be able to handle that. And that's where recruitment marketing also plays a role, creating those experiences along the way.
Actually, that leads quite well into David Allen's comment here. Do companies struggle in that case by using recruiters to do their own marketing rather than having a function specifically for this? And a lot of businesses, recruitment and marketing are different, are in different worlds.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good point. A lot of people say recruiting is marketing, right? Recruiting is sales. I'm not entirely against it. I don't love it, but I can see the connection, right? I understand the connection, but I believe it's a function of the organization to have a program to run that. Yeah. That's like saying the recruiter's responsible for, and this is going to light me up, I'm sure, recruiter's responsible for diversity recruiting. They're partially, but it has to be bought in by the company, right? The company has to understand the buy-in and have the budget behind it to make it work. So if your recruitment marketing is fantastic, right? Let's just say a recruitment marketer builds, I don't know, say 20 pieces of content and gives that to a recruiter. That's fantastic. But if the recruiter doesn't understand where to distribute it, how to distribute it, they distribute it at the wrong time. The message is blown at that point. And that's where the whole consumer marketing piece comes in. And that's why you see a lot of consumer marketers coming into recruitment marketing and blowing it up, because they understand how people buy, what they see, what they understand, what they feel, emotional selling, all that stuff.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. And I think that's the piece, right? Is firstly, one, you outlined something there, which is absolutely key, which is have a plan, right? This ain't going to happen organically, right? It's not like something that you can just, you know, organically grow. It's something that's got to be planned out, mapped out, thought about, you know, into the strategically how to approach, as you said, certain kind of demographics, certain types of people, certainly if you're trying to attract, you know, product people versus engineers, you know, kind of tech architects versus, I don't know, sort of like, you know, UI, UX designers. So there has to be some serious planning behind it. And I think the one thing that I kind of make mention to companies is when you think about recruitment marketing and or social media, it's not easy, right? If it was easy, everybody would be generating loads of kind of, you know, engagement from it. So leading around to a kind of question, when a particular company is coming to, shall we say, kind of recruitment marketing or the concept of it for the first time, is there any kind of advice you would give them? I do this, don't do that. I'm just throwing that in there.
Yeah, you know,
it is Friday, Glenn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like a Tuesday question.
Maybe Monday. So, you know, the advice, I mean, you know, I think it's simple. It's don't overthink it. You need someone that truly understands how somebody makes a decision and how somebody buys, right? It's kind of like, think of an in-person event. You go to a booth that's a table with a logo and a banner, and they, you know, they have five different salespeople there, and they're all griping at people as they walk by. Hey, want to see a demo? Want to see a demo? Want to see a demo? Then you have the other company that spends, they spend $100,000 on their booth, and it's a big experience, right? And their marketing people are there, their product people are there, but they don't allow salespeople in the booth. It's just product people, and they talk about the product, but the experience within the booth is really amazing, right? They spent $100,000 on it. You know, it's got waterfalls and all that other crap, but you know, it draws people in, and then they forbid the sales process. They don't allow people to sell. It's just talk, have conversations. Yeah. We can sell later, because most likely the person you're talking to, one, isn't the right person, and two, they don't want to be sold to, because, and even if you sell to them, you're just wasting your breath. They've got 400 other booths that they're going to go to. You know, so the process is the same here, I think, in the recruitment marketing side, is to bring someone in that understands and set how to set the process up for a person, and understands the different cycles of buying and how they buy and the stages of it and all that stuff.
That's and I cool. assume the easiest way to understand that is to go and talk to the people doing that job in your company already and in the industry, and ask them like what they look for, and as far as like content goes and roles and information, or no?
That might vary based on company. If you're talking specifically about recruiting, potentially, yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be on the buyer side. I think it's important to understand the internal pieces of the company, but I like to kind of flip that around. And so companies that we work with, we'll tell them, let's go the opposite way. Let's talk to the people you hired, the people you didn't hire, if they'll talk to you, right? Ex-employees and people like that, who can help you understand the experience they had and where it could have been better. Because your hiring managers are going to say, our process is amazing, right? I built it. Of course it's good.
Oh, no, I didn't mean the hiring managers. Sorry. I meant like the people.
Oh, like the employees itself.
So if I'm hiring a data scientist, go and talk to the data scientist to discover, like, you know, how do we do? What could we do better? What information they want to see?
For every good that you get, sorry. I go for the bad side, right? Because if the data scientist in the company is hired, they're not going to say, well, it was good, but I interviewed with John and he was an ass. Like, he wasn't good, right? Yeah. Like, I stuck in with it because I wanted this job. He's not going to say that because he reports to John.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so you want to get the opposite end of that as well to see really what was the bad. It's kind of like when we have speakers on, right? It's, you know, everybody wants to know how good they did. Like, how about how bad you did? Like, where was the bad parts? Where can, because you know how good you did, right? You know the good, you get that feeling, you know what people like, but what was the negative side of that? Where can you get better?
We have a few tongue in cheek comments on the side here that are quite worth showing. Audra just saying that marketers are so good at employer branding. I think that might be a bit tongue in cheek. And how important is an opt out, unsubscribe in recruitment marketing, asking for a friend? Well, obviously, here in Europe, very important.
Very important. I think it's important. I think it's important everywhere. You know, in the beginning days, when software's forced us to put that there, I try to hide it, right? White it out, drop it all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
Now I want it up in the front. I mean, right now, there's so much noise in the inbox, and I still think email, and people are gonna kill me on it. I think email is still one of the top communication tools. I get it, text is right there, but email is not that. Email has a significant role in everything that we're doing. And frankly, I don't want somebody who truly doesn't want the information getting the information with the hope that they're going to get the information and read it. And for people, you know, as people hear that, for a couple of reasons. One is, if we're sending out 10,000 messages to people that aren't opening and engaging, look, you know, at some point that hurts our deliverability, and our messages get pushed into all the other inboxes and most likely not even seen, right? So, you know, we have a 7-day clean period where if you don't engage in 7 days, we remove you from an active list. And that's intense. 7 days is intense, right? Normally it's like 120 days, but we go 7 days.
Yep.
You know, and I recommend that when companies are doing recruitment marketing, it's not 7 days, it's a little more than that. But still, it's shorter than the typical 120 days or even 12 months a lot of companies are doing.
I'm not showing the next comment. We'll take that offline. Jeremy Smith, Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
It might be the first time you've ever joined us.
Long
I haven't seen you in like 300 years. Yeah, Jeremy actually trained me at Spring Technology 290 years ago. We're that old. Should trained companies me. Look at... Did he?
Both of he trained me as well,
I'm so sorry, world. It's all Jeremy Snell's fault. Should companies look at two marketing teams, their own product and customer journey, and then a marketing business partner to work, in brackets, seated within the recruitment team? So, well, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. I think they work together a lot, depending on the company, right? But I think they work together. But yeah, it's two separate roles, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, man. I mean, the thing is, so I work with startups and scale-ups, right? Usually recruitment marketing, recruiter, and sometimes a little bit of HR is one person. There's not really the budget for three people or a team. I've found that I can start to build some social media content, right? That's cool. I can get that part of the game generated. But actually getting the business to buy into planning longer term on something that they see is quite short term. So I hiring managers like, hey, I've got like two people to hire and then I'm done for the rest of the year. So actually I don't really see the value in kind of contributing to this just yet. Have you got any suggestions for how to really not sell recruitment marketing, but really kind of advocate for it when there's either not much budget or not much buy-in?
Well, I think that's where the marketing team, the recruitment marketing team comes in, right? I think a company, and this is all going to be different per company, but I think some companies will have a holistic view of this where the recruitment marketing team is just creating content for the company as a whole, because again, the recruitment marketing team, in my opinion anyway, is the goal of them is to drive people to the employer and the recruiter drives it to the job. So if the recruitment marketing team is focusing on the employer, right, the experience of the employer, the awareness of the employer, what am I seeing on Instagram versus Facebook? And when I'm reading Forbes, is a survey popping up that's going to drive awareness to the brand so that when the engineering job comes up or the developer job comes up and the recruiter reaches out to me, the recruiter can focus on selling the job because my recruitment marketing team already has told this person how amazing we are. Yeah. And that's, so I think it's a separate, I don't think the hiring manager needs to buy into that. I think that's where the recruiter has to be launched into that role. But once that job is open.
Yeah. I think,
Could it be sold more along the lines of the fact that people want to know who they're working with as well? Like even from a client point of view.
Yeah.
So actually just saying, well, actually we're just sharing our people, whether it's for recruitment or, sales. This is just who we are.
Yeah, exactly. It's a story. You're telling the story. You're building the story. I think the challenge most companies have, though, in this situation is not just create. They can create the story. It takes time, but they can create the story. Once they release it, once they push it out into the market, they stop. They seem to always stop there, right? Like, we've launched the campaign. We're good. It's running. Mm-hmm. We put 15 grand behind it. We hired two people. We're good. And then they let the story go. But the story doesn't end there because you're constantly bringing new people in. The product constantly has updates, right? If you have an update, I forget the name of the tool, they just did a diversity update timely, right? They just did it, but they didn't do anything what they failed at, in my opinion, was they didn't have a story behind it. You just said, hey, do you have diversity hiring issues? Here's a tool now, right? Like, we've updated this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. You're just taking advantage of a situation and you're selling into an audience. Somebody's going to buy it. That's fantastic. But what if they've continued that story for the last 12 months around diversity because they've actually supported diversity, right? Not just put it in as a feature. And now they break that out. So their audience has been educated and now they have an updated version of that. Their audience is going to buy that and current customers will upgrade onto that, not because they feel like they have to, because they trust them. And that's take that role, put that into recruitment itself, right? It's kind of like, I don't know, like take any company that you guys like and really anybody if like Coca-Cola, if you love or Dorito, take Doritos, right? My kids run around, they talk about Doritos commercials all the stinking time, right? And they watch them on YouTube, the best Doritos commercials, which don't let your kids that are 12 and under watch Doritos commercials that are on YouTube, the best of, because they're not very kosher. But it makes them want to go buy Doritos, right?
Yeah.
But how cool would it be when they, in 10 years, when they're getting a job to say, oh man, that'd be so awesome to work on that Doritos marketing team because I want to be part of that. Right. That's recruitment marketing, and it's really not. It's consumer marketing, but they're recruiting the next generation for Doritos.
Yeah. Do you
can I add Tom's comment?
Yeah, 100%.
I just thought it was funny just because I love the fact he's just plugging my book for me. Bless him. Tom, a mindless robotic recruiter can undo the best recruitment plan. Cue Katrina holds up book.
Nice one, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Commission checks in the mail.
to your point, we kind of touched upon the kind of hiring manager piece there. And what I found previously for kind of recruitment marketing is when I said the engagement for them is actually getting them into either a video or some form of content where they're talking about them, their team, or kind of essentially the role. And I think trying to get people like the employees in front of the brand sometimes can be equally powerful from a recruitment marketing perspective. What's your kind of thoughts on that? Is it a pro? Is it a con? You know, do you see advantages, disadvantages?
On getting
Do you think it's a good thing to get hiring managers onto video out in front of the role? Because the plus for me is, great, people get to speak to the hiring manager. That's what everybody keeps talking about. Applicants want more from the hiring managers. The negative side of that is, okay, cool, you've heard the hiring manager. Oh, by the way, he's leaving in 6 months, or she's leaving in 6 months. So there's a catch-22 around it, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends. So short answer is yeah, right? Okay. Getting these people at the forefront is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. However, you can have duds, right? They're awful on camera. Right? You know the company hasn't invested in them, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's always a tricky thing, right? What do you do if the person leaves the company? Well, if they left the company in a good way, totally fine, I think. If they left it in a bad way, you might have to pull that, right? So if you invest a lot of money, you're in trouble.
Glenn, but think how long it's taken us to get comfortable on camera, right? It's taken time as well. So
it does.
Suddenly shove a camera in front of a hiring manager and try to make it not awkward.
Yeah, I think that's where I think storytelling comes in to this. Skill Scout does, you know, an amazing job at this where they don't necessarily focus on a hiring manager, but they focus on the story itself, right? So the hiring manager might be in there, the employees are in there, a ton of B-roll footage, but people are watching that, but they're listening to the story, right? And the story is what's going to resonate, not the manager itself. Now, I like having a hiring manager on a role specifically if you're recruiting for that job, right? And we did this a ton at IBM and some of the others that I've been with where the hiring manager will put them on camera and they'll just talk about the job, right? Mm-hmm. So that's okay because in the moment, you're recruiting for that position and in the moment they're going to work for that manager. So sometimes it can come across really awkward. If it is, then you don't use it, right? But you try it. But if you're using it as a promotion for the brand, that's tough, right? Including them in there, talking is fine, but featuring them, I've seen companies get into trouble with that and not know what to do.
Yeah,
cool. Audra's opinion on that. Try to find any recruitment-related video that anyone goes to YouTube to watch, like a Doritos commercial.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know that's what?
Cool. Unless it becomes like a Diet Coke commercial.
Yeah, Doritos is hard to beat. That's for sure. Yeah. They were watching one the other day. It was with Megan Fox, I think, and someone else. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, you're 9 years old.
Wow.
Pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah. No more Doritos.
I've not seen any of these.
Yeah. Hey, if it's good enough for the Super Bowl, it's good enough for something else.
Yeah. Now you said Megan Fox, I'll be Googling that after the show. Thanks
after
for the tip.
The show, we'll be like, what do you mean Doritos commercials?
Yeah. I think I kind of pulled you in the kind of recruitment marketing direction, but we did say that you were going to kind of give us some insights in terms of consumer marketing that could be really useful for recruitment marketing. And you touched upon that a little bit in terms of kind of demographics and that. So could you kind of expand on some of the sort of key areas you think it would be really useful from a consumer marketing perspective?
Yeah, sure. I mean, think about, and this is basic, it's basic, right? So start at the most basic level.
Basic is good for me.
Yeah,
basic is good for most people.
Let's go to cliche route, right? So put the right message.
Remember, it's Friday. Go basic.
Yeah, go basic. So cliche, let's start cliche, right? Put the right message in front of the right person at the right time. That's consumer. I mean, consumer marketers are geniuses at this, right? It's kind of like, you know, today I do not go and search on company websites for things, right? So, for example, I'm looking for different types of fishing equipment, for example. I don't necessarily have to go to these websites. I just go to Google. I literally just type in all the stuff I'm looking for, and then I shut it down, because then I'm served up with all the ads, right? So I don't have to waste my time researching on companies. It's kind of a backwards way of doing it. But if you want to save money, there's a tip for you. It works, right? So just go to Google, type in whatever fishing rods, you know, or a specific one that you want, and then shut it down. Go back in again, shut it down, do it again, shut it down. You'll start to get bombarded with content, with ads, old things you've signed up for, incentives, promotions, the whole bit, right? And so now without researching it, I now have 20% off or $15 off $100, you know, all this. I'm like, this is fantastic. Well, I didn't know I signed up for this stuff. And then you get
all my future shopping.
It's fantastic. I love doing it. Just imagine if someone does that in recruiting, right? Imagine somebody goes online and says software engineering jobs. And then all of a sudden they get an email that says, hey, John, we have a software engineering open, or hey, Katrina, we have this, or hey, you know, whatever. And then they go to Facebook and all of a sudden they're seeing an ad or some type of quiz game or whatever you want to cute thing you want to do around software engineering that drives them into something else. And then they go to TikTok and they flip up a little thing on TikTok with a hackathon thing. Right. So all of these things happen just because of the one search, but you have to have them in your system, right? You have to have that foundation. So it's kind of like, think if you go to, I don't know, just go anywhere, search for shoes, whatever. All of a sudden you start getting emails to your promotions box from Amazon that says, hey, we're having a shoe sale. The same thing is true with recruitment. If you can set yourself up foundationally that way to track people, then you know what's going to happen, right? If, for example, let's just say, I don't know, Coke, Pepsi Cola, whoever knows that, you know, Glenn was looking on their career site, right? Let's just say you applied to a job 5 years ago, Glenn, and all of a sudden you just start browsing around their career site. If their CRM triggers and says, oh, here's Glenn, he's been inactive for a while, let's send them a quick little message, right? Let's send them this, let's send them a pop-up on the screen. Hey, Glenn, welcome back, you know. All of these types of things will drive behavior and create the experience.
And is the technology available to do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it can literally.
I think somewhat in recruiting.
I've turned off all of my Amazon emails, so I have no idea when I've searched for shoes whether it sends an email, because literally they're all off. I turn them all off.
Yeah. Oh, I search for things all the time just because I love getting the ads and seeing what's out there.
Right.
But
it is possible to actually go to a website and they know that it's Glenn coming back.
Oh yeah,
because
of
the IPO, I guess.
Oh yeah, 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 for sure. So now, as long as you've done
something, screw that up. I use a VPN.
As long as you've done something in their system before.
Yeah.
So think of it this way. Let's just say you're using a tool. You know, not all these tools will do something like this. Say using Phenom People or Smart Recruiters or Jobbyte or Aperture, any of these, Beamery. And Clint, they're running your career site, right? You've opted into, you know, their talent community. You don't remember that term, talent community, right? You've opted in, right? You get emails or whatever you're doing. You've applied to a previous job. Yeah, when you go back on there, if they have it set up properly, yes, they'll be able to see that Glenn applied to this software engineering job. He's now back on the site, and here are the three jobs or four pages that he's looked at.
Yeah.
Let's trigger these next steps, right? So an experience there could be, you know, Glenn looks at a software engineering job, hops off of it. He watches a video of the software engineering group or reads some content from the software engineering group. The recruiter on the back end who's attached to that job gets a ping that says, hey, Glenn didn't get the job last time. He was a silver medalist. Here's his updated LinkedIn profile that we just scraped. Take a look at it. And simultaneously, it shoots a message to Glenn. Hey, Glenn, saw you took a look at this. We haven't spoken in a while. Would you like to hop on a call?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So the recruiter sees it, says, yeah, Glenn, you know, he's grown a bit. Trigger, hit yes, right? Glenn gets the message. It's just like a two-liner. Hey, Glenn, want to chat. Mm-hmm. So you took a look at the job and looks like you've grown. Let's have a call.
And that's
I wonder how many recruiters actually do that though.
But that's the beauty of what Ryan's talking about, right? It's that experience.
Yeah, but it's cool that Audra's saying, like, so she's got the tech that does that. Yeah. But what I'd love to know is how many of the recruiters then actually then step up and use it. Like, go. Yeah,
I'd say it's small enough.
Oh, they just ignore the thing.
A lot of companies might have the process set up depending on the tool that they're using. But this is where now the recruiter has to be trained, right? And market that person into the job. But the recruitment marketing team, automation team, whatever is included there, will build that process throughout the entire thing. And that could have... Yeah. You know, 30 different trigger points. You know, it might be an email to Glenn. Glenn doesn't respond, so they wait 4 or 5 hours, right? And so let's just say an email goes to Glenn.
Fair point, Audra. Yeah.
What she said?
Sorry, did you see that? Or it creeps Glenn out, which it probably would. Right, like, oh my God.
Yeah, I see you've been looking at my website.
I don't want to work for them. They're going to watch how many times I go to the toilet a day.
Yeah. Actually, no. A long time ago, so it's probably a year ago now, maybe more, we sent an email out where, because, you know, we know when people are doing things, right? And we, you know, we use it for, you know, really it's just for us, it's just marketing because we don't sell anything to the, to the reader, where somebody would, it was for an automation webinar or something similar to what we're talking about. And it was where they went to the page. They didn't sign up for it. We sent them an email in 4 or 5 hours. We're like, hey, Glenn, I know you took a look at the website, but you didn't sign up. I'm not quite sure why. Creepy, right? But if we know that you did this and we're asking you to do this, imagine what you can do for your candidates that are visiting your job descriptions. And it was one of our highest attended webinars and sessions because that's exactly what we were talking about, setting up the process to say, I knew you were there, but you didn't complete that description. And I think you're a pretty good candidate.
And that leads to Sophie's comment. When will we get to play with the creepy listening tech on Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook as mentioned chatting on the phone about how you want a new job and then boom.
Without it veering into the creepy zone, it's about a kind of conversation, right? It's an experience. So recognizing that you've shown either some interest or taken some action, not asking you to take more action, just acknowledging that action, which is the start of sometimes a conversation. And then I think about, you know, just the real blanket kind of emails on LinkedIn that are so static, so kind of dry, so wordy as well, because they're not related to anything, right? They're just a message to you.
But you came across their profile on.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, kind of what Ryan's talking about is you've taken an action, you've shown potentially some interest, and there's an acknowledgement of that interest. Now, you may only want to maybe ask a few more questions. You're not fully bought in yet. You might be like, oh, okay, cool. There's an option to sort of say, hey, where is this based? And, you know, kind of what kind of tech are you using? But what you're doing is you're starting a conversation, you're opening up to some engagement, as opposed to, like I say, just that old school blanket approach of, we've got a job. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just, and really, you don't need, I know marketers will say you need the call to action, right? Get the click, get this,
get that.
A reply is the same thing.
Yeah.
A reply is the same thing. And if you have it, surveillance capital.
Yeah, we love Lee. Lee always writes the best comments.
Yeah. So, but I mean, look, if you send a 10-word email to someone, right? Let's just say, you know, Glenn, again, you've applied to a job and say, hey, Glenn, are you still interested in software engineering jobs at Coke? That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's either a yes or a no, right? Maybe you don't respond. I still know if you opened the email. I still know if you hovered around on my signatures and crap like that. But I also know if you replied, right? You hit reply and say, yeah, I am. No, I'm not.
It's a late comment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of using the tech for, you know, a positive action. It's not as if, you know, in recruitment marketing, you're not asking somebody to buy something. You're not sort of saying, hey, you've looked at these Nike Air Max. Why don't you kind of, you're sort of saying, okay, so you've shown some interest in a potential opportunity or kind of career path or a company, even if it's about, you know, hey, what was it that interested you about us? It gives you an option for that engagement. I think that's one of the things that a lot of applicants kind of often talk about is the fact that they get nothing back. They spend time crafting an application or sending something in, they get nothing.
Yeah.
And no opportunities to ask a question. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, and that's where the recruitment marketing piece comes in prior to it getting to the job, right? So there's a ton of education. I mean, it could be years of education, someone, right? Putting awareness in front of them before they actually need a job or want to apply. Mm. But once they've applied to the job, it doesn't necessarily stop. The recruiter just takes over a portion of that job, right? The recruiter takes over the portion that says, you know, hey, Katrina, this is the job. Let's talk about the job. Mm. Simultaneously, the recruitment marketing team is still sending information. Now we know that you've stressed interest for that specific job. Now we're going to do placements in front of you for that job, right? Mm. So that's where that nurture piece comes in, where the recruiter, you know, and some companies have this manually trigger, which is usually the easiest way because it holds the recruiter accountable in the system to say, Katrina is interested, move her to A or B or C or whatever stage. And now the recruiter drops you into conversation, for example. Mm. During that conversation, we know it's for, you know, an engineering role, for example, and we're talking to you. You haven't met in person. You haven't completed this particular stage. So now that triggers off the next level of nurturing, right? Mm. Which is content specifically around those conversations. Now, if you look at it from a sales perspective, if your company has this is complex enough and they have it set up properly, you can have, right? You can have your content folder, right? Your content bundle, where I can see that Katrina looked at page A and page B. Now, after my phone call with Katrina, if I'm talking to Katrina and engineering is it, but her concern is, well, engineering is great, but you know, it's really about, you know, issue one and issue two. Mm-hmm. I can go through my content folder, my approved content folder, and drop that to you. Yeah. I just, hey, Katrina, fantastic talking to you today. You know, here's some information on, or here's something that I found that I thought might be interesting to you. Yeah. And then drop it in and give it to them, right? It's approved. It's in there. You're giving them more content. The recruitment marketing team gets that notification. Well, maybe not the team, but the system gets the notification that you shared this piece of content. And now it knows that once the recipient opens that piece of content, there's an interest. Now they can trigger additional things. And before you get back on the phone, Katrina, or before we get back on the phone with Katrina, we can see after she read that document or that page, she visited these five other pages. Mm. Now we can start formulating our conversation.
You know what I'm hearing, though? I'm hearing needs team and much content. And I imagine most recruiters listening in are going, haven't got time for that.
Well, that's
haven't got a marketing function.
That's the function of the recruitment marketing team, to build that content. Mm.
Yeah, if you have one, if you're lucky enough to have one.
If not, hire Katrina.
Mm. Don't hire me. I'm not a marketer. Hire Ryan.
Yeah, well, hire you.
I will.
But there's, you made mention there as well, Ryan, in terms of education through kind of recruitment marketing, which I think is another thing, right? So you're kind of educating people about your business, the types of roles, what it means to work in that business, which hopefully will make people make better selections about whether they want to work with you or don't. So you don't get loads of kind of applications that are probably not quite on the mark. You'll still get a percentage of those regardless, right? But actually, it makes it easier in some respects to give feedback to those individuals to say, hey, look, you know, we pointed you here and here, and these are the sort of things you're probably not hitting the mark too much. But, if you want to consider us for the future, these are the things that you need to kind of think about. But equally as well, individuals that are really interested, you're giving them a lot of upfront information, which is fantastic. And I think that's the thing that a lot of applicants are really looking for, right? They just want to know more than job spec.
It's communication. Yeah, it's communication. Yeah. And that's, you know, and Glenn, it's a good point. He's kind of triggered back my mind. The marketing that goes out to these people in that process, they don't need to be fancy, beautiful HTML style. I mean, literally 10 words. Mm. Just put a line or two in there. Be human about it, right? Mm. It can be a humanized email and still be automated. And look, it doesn't always have to be automated. Automation just takes, you know, helps to trigger certain things and put placements in front of.
Well, it could move it along to the human who then takes action rather than it as well, couldn't it?
Exactly. And frankly, it's just the way the world runs today, right? Mm. So people are aware. I mean, 2 years ago, I hated chatbots. Like, I hated it. Like, I would get on and I go for Verizon service. Like, oh, God, it's like, you know, like, again?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I just keep hitting things until I got to a human. Now, excuse me. Now they're actually good enough that I can say, here's my problem. I don't love it still.
Yeah.
But here's my problem.
Yeah.
And I get an answer and I don't have to talk to somebody. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not entirely against that, but I think people are accepting of the fact that there is less human in a lot of things that we do. So now when there
is,
and
if it does help, and it's quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
we're out of time.
We're just getting onto chatbots.
I know, and I was just a bit concerned about that because I was thinking that would be like another hour, and we're out of time. It's the fastest 45 minutes ever.
Man, so cool.
So before anyone disconnects and we say goodbye, next week we have Dawn Ward, and Glenn and I love to unearth. That sounds dreadful, doesn't it? Give new speakers a platform, and Dawn Ward's a head of people, and she's going to be talking about trust, which is like one of my favorite topics, having just covered it in the mastermind as well, actually halfway through it for one and covered it for the first pod. I think it's so complex and so incredible it's so necessary for recruiters. So I'm looking forward to that topic next week. That will be at exactly the same time. Mr. Leary, honestly, Googling you
Amazing.
Brings you up, but how do the people find you? Just Ryan Leary on LinkedIn?
Yeah, Google Ryan Leary recruiting. Yeah,
I love you.
Ryan at recruit. If you're in our list, you get just look for this. You get my emails all the time.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Which is fair.
It was such a great chat. Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Go on, Katrina. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. No. God, it's huge. I feel like I need to listen back to it. lots of knowledge bombs. It's like, I'm not sure I took it all in being on a Friday.
Hopefully it helped. And honestly, if you take anything away from this, go Google some stuff and then just close it out and you'll get some sales. It's good. Yeah.
I probably need to switch back on some of my emails.
Here's another one. If you go through, people fight me on this and they say it's not true. But if you go through your inbox, just in the search bar, and type in promotions, sales, 20%, you'll pull up different promotions and things that you've gotten over the years. People fight me tooth and nail on this and say it's not true. If you do that, you will start to see those same offers come up, both in, if you're in Gmail, you'll see it at the top in your Gmail box, but you'll also start seeing it in Google AdWords and things like that. So it's triggering ads, and people tell me it doesn't. I know it does.
See, I just realized how much money I'm losing out by not having ad block, not having any emails turned on. Yeah. Like, I need to open everything back up for spam.
always buy after the deal ends. It's better.
Wicked, man.
Yeah, no, I think I'm losing out. Anyway, thank you, Ryan, so much.
Ryan.
Thank you, everyone, for all of your questions. And, of course, the Enterprise Alumni that keeps us going every week. We wouldn't be here without you. We shall see you all at the same time next week, which, of course, is 3 o'clock UK time. Right, Glenn?
Yeah, that's it.
10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And so thank you, everybody. Have the most wonderful weekend.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Thanks
for having me.